Welcome to the podcast.
I am Ross.
No, technically, for this episode, you're Ross House.
Or am I an AI?
I think you're Ross House for this
Ross
episode of the
House.
podcast. Because we will, and I'm Phil, and we will be talking about the 2024 Roadhouse, which I've not seen yet. As we record
why don't
this,
we wait? Why don't we just wait? Why don't we just wait until you've seen it?
Look. I'll get your thoughts on it. But yes, we'll go into a deeper dive once I've seen it. But this episode, we're going to be catching up on films we've seen recently. I think we'll save Martial Arts to the next one because we're pretty much at the end of it anyway. So we'll run through it as a whole on the next one because obviously Ross has been doing Martial Arts again. But we've not really caught up. We've not even spoken about Dune 2. So there's quite a lot for us to catch up on because we got distracted by Oscars and Madame Web and Argyle and all the cinema shite that's been coming out this year. And we've not even talked about what is, so far, for me, the best film of the year. So we'll get to that. But Ross, before we get there, how the devil are you, sir? Are you well?
I am well, thank you. How are you, aside from your...
I'm very well. Happy wedding anniversary.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, for anyone who doesn't know, it was Miffy and I's wedding anniversary yesterday. At the time of this recording, of course, and Facebook brought up many happy memories, including, of course, the fact that you were able to attend, which was fantastic.
I would not have had it any other way. Even if you hadn't invited me, I would have turned up.
Yeah, who's this guy?
in the background, but no, it was a lovely day. Yes, it was a whole year ago. So, like, it's amazing how time does fly. And since then. Lots of good and other movies have been consumed. Fucking hell. But look, so we won't do what we've seen recently or anything like that. What we'll do is we'll just bounce, right? So we'll start with Dune 2, because I know we've both seen that. And then we just bounce and talk about films that we've seen, and probably we'll touch on a few that the other person's seen. I've been on a voyage of discovery of films that I haven't watched before, so I've added taken two off my list this month, so I'll probably touch on them if I can. Also snuck in a little Doug Campbell joint for the journey as well. So there's been a few, but look, let's start by talking about the big one that came out at the beginning of the month. Let's talk about Dune 2, the sequel to Dune 1, obviously. And look, I just want to refer you back to your statement after Dune 1. You were like, I really liked it, but for me, how good it will depend on how well they stick the landing. I'm paraphrasing clearly.
That's pretty much right, though. I can't disagree with the sentiment of that.
I guess the question is, Ross, did they stick the landing?
Largely, yes. I will say, just very broad notes. I think the first film is a better film, on the whole. And I mean, by the way, these are, everything I'm about to say is relatively minor. I think on the whole, having watched the first film very recently, again, with Niffy, we watched both at the IMAX, which was the only way to watch these films, I think, quite honestly, personal opinion. And I think the first film, having watched it within about 10 days of seeing the second film, I think that's probably a better film, maybe partly because of the surprise of how good it is and stuff. And then secondly, my only real quibble with the second film, there's a few, but legitimately distracting quibble, Niffy and I both felt the same, was the arena fight with Fade was very distracting. Partly the black and white aspect of those sequences didn't really, there was no real need for that. And secondly, the CGI of the audience in that arena was weirdly bad, like weirdly, like going back to Lord of the Rings, what do they call it? Mask, there was a name for the software.
This is an IMAX thing.
The entire audience were moving in exactly the same way. It was quite strange. But like I say, this is a relatively, however I'm saying this, it's a relatively minor quibble. The reason why it was distracting is because the rest of the film looks completely real. Like, everything in the film looks real. It's insane how real it looks.
If that's the case, is it a deliberate thing?
I don't believe it is. I don't believe it.
But could it be a deliberate thing? And secondly, could it be an IMAX thing? Because we've had this issue before, where you've watched something in IMAX and I've watched it in non-IMAX, and we've been like, we've had different experiences. IMAX does change.
I'm prepared to believe that the IMAX would have accentuated it simply because of the size of the screen.
Yeah.
Having said that, there are too many other sequences with masses of people that just didn't look fake. And like I say, this is we're talking about in the grand scheme of a nearly 3 hour movie, we're talking about, you know, let's be charitable, say a minute. Like this is not it's not by any means a major quibble. Everything else about the film, certainly in my estimation, is very, very, very good indeed. And you're correct, or potentially correct, IMAX could have accentuated it simply because of the scale of everything. But it was very odd to see the audience looking so, relatively speaking, fake, not just because of what they looked like, but because of the movement. And it was, unfortunately, sincerely distracting, as opposed to the rest of the movie.
Weirdly, I didn't pick up on it at all. I saw this in a not an IMAX, but certainly the biggest screen that I have access to, which is still fucking big. And I didn't pick up on that at all. My take on it, I thought it was exceptional. I genuinely thought
it's one of the best films of the year, hands down.
Is it a better film than bear in mind what's come out so far this year. That's not a hard
but I'm projecting forward and without projecting forward human assumptions. How could it not be one of the very best films of the year?
Yeah, look, Dune was my film of the year when it came out, and I'd be surprised if this wasn't just based purely on the holy fuck moment. So a friend of mine picked up on something. So I thought it was exceptional. I think it's a very different movie to it's a very different movie to Dune, and I used the Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back analogy, and I think it's really, really relevant here. I think this is very much an Empire Strikes Back of a movie, and it even ends in an Empire Strikes Back of a movie kind of way, right?
Like, it's funny that you say. Well, the ending is interesting because it really does end very faithfully to the first book, like parts one and two. Relative, I mean, look, there's always adaptation and stuff. It does sum up the first book, and certainly where the second book then goes, which is not what people would expect, certainly at the time. And I'm not sure if they decide to do Dune Messiah, but I think Denis Villeneuve has already said he doesn't want to do. But he's already
composing it. Zimmer's already composing the film. So
right, sure, so, yeah. but what I'm getting at is I believe Denis Villeneuve has said he doesn't want to do it. But who knows? Who knows? It's really easy to say that. But the things that change in the Dune story, particularly when we come to Paul, I don't know how well an audience, how do I phrase it? If an audience today that essentially loves the Dune films and very much likes Paul Atreides, as in, you know, Chalamet and everything.
They ain't going to be happy at all.
Imagine this, right? They'll be like, you've ruined him. That's the actual story.
Yeah. But the analogy for me is if they'd have not done the original three Star Wars movies, right, and the first three Star Wars movies were The Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and Attack of the Revenge of the Sith. Imagine that, like your first movie, you'll be like, if they'd done it well, if they'd done it to the same standard as the previous, you'd be like, oh, I quite like that Anakin dude, he's quite cute. And the second film, we'd be like, he's got issues, but I kind of get it a little bit. And by the end of the third film, you'd be like, holy fuck, Anakin Skywalker is an absolute child murdering, you know, it's that kind of thing. Villeneuve has said, and I quote, if I do Dune 3, it will be because it's going to be better than part two, otherwise I won't do it. He'll do it. Yeah. They'll back the money truck up. I think they kind of have to. But yes, I think the ending is brilliant, but it's very much an Empire Strikes Back kind of ending. A friend of mine picked up on something, and I fundamentally disagree with this. And his critique of the film was, it was building towards a big action scene and it didn't deliver it. And I'm like, no, the film was never building towards a big action film.
No,
this is not an action film.
And neither did the first film. One of the best things about the first film, forgetting about the fact that, again, it's being pretty faithful to the story, is it ends up with like a small knife fight. That is relatively speaking, true to the book.
Yeah.
Relatively.
And I love the fact
that... it's not an action film at all. There's action in it, but it's not an action
yeah.
film.
Yeah. And the action is very much in the background to the story.
Well, it's just contextual.
Rather than the story, it's contextual. Exactly. Rather than the action driving the story, you know, the action is there happening whilst this story of Paul and everything else. I think it's brilliant. I think the cast are fantastic. For Chalamet, someone who I've not really connected with as an actor, this and Wonka, I'm like, holy fuck, the guy's good. Yeah.
I do like her. Was it Call Me By, was it Call Me By Your Name? I really liked that. The thing with Armie Hammer.
Pass.
It was really good. It was really good.
God.
I mean, he was really, really good in it. I'm just saying.
Hashtag problematic.
No. All that stuff to me. But people in a
No,
year or so,
I
people are going to
absolutely
go,
know
why
about
did we
that.
talk about this nonsense? They'll be like,
Because
essentially, it's just going to be like, what? Who cares?
no, no,
Yeah.
no, no, they're
It's a very
not. No, they're
nothing.
not. I
Well, they should, because it's just not, what is it? Who cares?
I think we fundamentally disagree on that one, Ross. I
But
think he
it's
deserves
not enough of a
everything.
thing. I think he hasn't, but nothing's happened to him really. He's
Well,
immensely wealthy. He's immensely wealthy. Nothing matters. It doesn't matter to him.
no, but it's
He
completely
can
ruined
finance his
his.
own. Yeah, but if he wanted to, he
Yeah,
could
but in the
finance
same
his
way
own
as
film
Spacey,
studio
right?
and then wait.
Spacey might have been found innocent, but he's never going to have a career again, you know,
Well,
fundamentally and
you say
probably
that.
rightly. No, he's
Yeah,
doing some films, but
yeah,
in the
exactly.
Mel Gibson way that Mel Gibson's career is, you know, and you know, Mel Gibson's career is a light year away from what it should have been if his career
Sure, of course,
trajectory
yeah.
had continued and his, you know, frankly
Well,
horrific personality hadn't been
I'm very
outed.
curious. I'm very curious to see if Mel Gibson's Wild Bunch actually gets off the ground at some point. Because I think if anyone can do a good remake of a Wild Bunch, it's him.
It's one
Very
of those things,
curious.
right? Like, and I'm a big believer that you know, sometimes you do have to separate the artist from the art, right?
Sure,
You can't
course.
say I'm never going to watch Seven or Usual Suspects again because of
No, of
Spacey.
course not. Of course not.
You know, and I'm never going to not watch Lethal Weapon again because of Gibson.
No.
And yeah, I'd love to see a Mel Gibson version of The Wild Bunch because, you know, again,
I
putting
think it would
aside
be a
everything
fantastic.
else,
I think he'd be a fan. He's a very, very talented director, regardless of
he's an
what
amazing,
anyone's opinion is.
like
Yeah, he's
anyone
amazing.
that doesn't look at Braveheart and go, that is a f like it or not, and I think it's a phenomenal movie,
It's a great movie.
factually dubious, but
Apocalypse.
you know,
Apocalypse. It's just a great movie, though.
yeah.
People get hung up on the reality of, like, as in the history of things, which I understand why they do, and they're not
But at no
wrong
point
not
did
to
he
do
say
it,
this is
but
an
it's just a good
accurate
movie. It's just a
historical.
great movie. He made a great movie.
I'm sure the Passion of the Christ isn't renowned for its historical accuracy.
No, well, I hope not.
For well, as I say, for many reasons,
I hope not.
you know, as someone that doesn't believe in that, already you lost me at the beginning of the story if you're telling me it's here's my factually inaccurate story
Based on
of
a
Christ,
based on the true story.
based on the true story of Christ,
Sure.
and you're
Well,
like,
hell, if you believe that nonsense, you would believe that it's true.
yeah, no, you
If you believe the nonsense, you would
would,
believe it's true because it's
but.
portrayed in a very gruesome, visceral. It's like the way that people think that Deadwood was accurate when
The
the Wild West didn't exist. It's
thing about the
completely
Wild West
mythical.
that always cracks me up and Westerns
Mythical.
is they have these amazing gunfights. And if you know anything about guns, you will know that those six shooters could probably shoot
Just
accurately
doesn't
at
work that way.
about 3 foot. And
Well, I was going to say,
outside of that, they're not
if you're
accurate.
standing, if your gun barrel was like touching their chest, sort of
Yeah,
thing, like,
don't get me wrong, at however many meters or feet, there is a chance you'll
yes,
hit
of course,
something.
of course.
But yeah, that romance. Anyway, we're slightly off piece, but yeah. So I thought Dune 2 was excellent. I thought it really stuck the landing. It's definitely my film of the year so far, with a caveat that there's another film I've seen that for different reasons I adored as
It's not
well.
my film of the year. It's my At the moment, it's number three for me, but we'll be getting into that in a week or two, maybe,
Yeah, I
because we're
mean,
nearly at
God,
the end
what
of
have you seen
quarter
that's
one.
better than, just out of interest, what have you seen that's better than Dune? What have
Do
I
you want me to tell you?
missed?
Do you want me to tell you my top five so far?
No, I'd like you to just tell me your top one because I'm intrigued what you've put there that I
At
haven't
the moment,
and what I might have missed.
at the moment, it's for Holdovers,
Okay, fine. So let's talk about the holdovers
and
because
there's no
I've.
comparison between the two. It's hard to compare those two movies, but to me, it's
You,
the better movie.
they are the definition
Yeah,
of
they're incomparable.
trilogy.
Very comparable. But that's what I like about it. That's what I like about it.
Big action movie, big action sci-fi movie, small drama about a curmudgeonry teacher. I watched
Which I think will be,
Holdover a couple of weeks ago.
well, I was going to say, I think it's going to become a yearly rotation in Christmas movies.
It
I
is
really
a.
do.
I don't think it will for me. I think it will be a once every 3 or 4 years, but it is
Okay, that's all
a
right.
genuinely. The only movie I've added to my Christmas rotation is Spirited, which the irony of that
Yes.
after me telling you how much I was never going to enjoy that film. And
Yes.
now I'm like, fuck. It's now like, we watched it again last year and I was like, oh
Great.
my God, I love Spirited. It's so cool.
Did you know that they actually put it in the cinemas last year? They put it
Yes,
in the
no, I
cinemas.
did. I was gutted.
Wasn't
I
that
couldn't see
great?
it. We were doing something else.
So good.
Yeah, look, we'll come on to Cineworld because I want to talk a little bit about that at some point. But let's talk holdovers then.
Yes. So hang on, before we start talking about the holdovers, with our discussion about the Oscars, I presume you sort of agree that Giamatti was robbed now.
It's really hard, right? Because
With
I
nothing
think
against, by the way, I'm not dissing Cillian Murphy at all. Cillian Murphy's perfectly valid.
if you
His Mother
look
Nature was
at
valid. But if you look at the two performances, truly,
do you know what? I disagree.
at
And I'll
equal.
tell you why I
Really?
disagree. Yeah, I'll tell you why I disagree. Because Paul Giamatti, for as good as his performance was identifiably Paul Giamatti in that film, right? Like, I've seen Paul Giamatti in a lot, right? Billions and all the other things he's done. And he's very, in that film, even though he's playing a role, he's still very identifiable to me as Paul Giamatti. If you watch Cillian Murphy in other stuff, he is not identifiable as Cillian Murphy in that film as Oppenheimer. He encompasses that role, and there's almost nothing left of Cillian Murphy in that role, in that performance.
I can't agree with that at all, actually. I'm sorry.
I think I
I
think
don't agree. I don't agree.
fundamentally,
I think he's
if you
very good
put
at it, but
but
I
if you
don't
put
think you can
any two
say
of his
there's nothing of
performances side
Cillian
by
Murphy.
side, no, but if you put any two of his performances side by side, they are markedly different, right? I don't think if you put a couple of Giamatti performances side by side, that they would be more variants of the theme rather than encompassing a character. So on that basis, you're fired. Sorry, come back on conversation. On
It
that
is.
basis,
It is
Ross,
with regret. It
it
is with
is with
regret.
regret. It is with
Stay in
regret,
touch.
Ross.
Stay in
You're
touch, Ross.
fired.
Stay in touch.
But stay in
Stay in touch.
touch. I
I don't know why he
love a
says
few
that.
filters.
He says that all the time now, and I'm like, why do
Stay in
you? I don't.
touch. Stay
You
in
don't want
touch.
these people. Would you want Verdi phoning you?
You're kidding. Would you want
Do
Knorr phoning you?
you want like? I'm an international DJ. Like, really?
But
Okay,
by the
good.
way, if no one knows, we're talking about The Apprentice. I'll tell you, we've never done this before, but we will do a wrap up of this season of The Apprentice
Oh God,
for
yes.
anyone that gives a fuck about it, because we
I keep
are.
thinking we should do an apprentice. I genuinely think that after episode of The Apprentice, we should do a 10-minute podcast or something. I really
Yeah,
do. I think it'd be great.
I think next year we'll start the Ross and Phil Talk
We
Apprentice
should. We
cast.
should.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and I might leverage some of my LinkedIn network to get some of
There's
the
plenty of people I know
candidates.
who. Yeah, why not, dude? We could probably do it. We could probably
We
do
could
it.
do it. We could do a version of. Anyway, again, this is the podcast with Ross and Phil. Go off piece. So for that reason, I think that probably Cillian Murphy did deserve it slightly more. But that's not to take anything away from Giamatti because he was
No.
phenomenal in this film. In fact, I would actually argue that whilst Giamatti did an amazing performance, I don't think his performance was the best in the film. I
No, not
think
necessarily, but he's just, it was just, yeah, okay, go on. Sorry.
I don't know the name of
The
the
kids are
guy that played
amazing.
the student that was with him for
Oh,
the majority of the film.
he's
But
amazing. That kid is
he,
amazing.
to me, he should have been nominated for an
Yes.
award because he was
I agree, or at least best of an
genuinely
autumn award.
fantastic.
He was fantastic. Yes, I agree.
But yes,
Completely.
I thought it was a beautiful, funny, charming,
Melancholic, if I can
bell
use that word.
yeah,
That, yeah.
it was everything you want from a Christmas movie.
When he's when he sees his old colleague, you know, that when they're out on the street, that point,
yeah.
that scene is so fucking. That's like a
Because we've
master
all been
class.
there, right?
Yes,
Like
we
we've all
have.
been
Yeah,
there. We've
no
all been there.
question.
And your
Great,
career's ebb
so
and flow,
relatable.
right? Like careers ebb and flow. There are times where you were working in a call center and aspirations of being a film director, and you probably would never have talked. You would have said, "Oh, if someone that you ran into that you went to school with that you never really liked said, oh, what are you up to now, Ross?" You'd never go, "I'm working in the call center." You'd be like, "Oh, I'm working on my, I'm planning my first movie," which you
No,
were
I
at the
don't know
time.
if I'd, that's true, but I don't know if I'd have had the, honestly, I don't know if I'd have had the confidence to say that. Maybe, I don't know. I'd like to
But
think I could
that's
have.
the thing, right?
Maybe
So, and
now.
I've done it. Like, I've done
Maybe.
it.
Yeah.
Like, people talk to
Yeah.
me about stuff, and like, you do it. So, yeah, that scene really got me. That scene
Yeah,
really kind of,
very, very
that
good,
scene
that
really
scene.
hit me. And
Yeah.
I thought, and Giamatti's face when he thought
It's
he was
a fact. It's
onto
a fact that the
into a
kid.
chance
It's
with
also.
that.
It's also the yes, that seems really good. But it was also the kid being with him and the way the kid was reacting to all of it, which is
Yeah.
almost nothing, and in a good way, almost nothing. It was really, really, really clever. Because
Yeah,
in other films, the kid would have been sort of I don't know, bigger with like reactions and you know what I'm getting at? Like it was just you could feel what the kid was feeling for him while they were
Yes.
having the conversation. It was
Dominic
very, very
Sessa.
visceral. That's it, yes.
Dominic Sessa, who was fantastic. And yeah, when Carrie Preston doesn't turn him down, but kind of like he's read that situation wrong, and his look on his face is just, it's heartbreaking.
I
I tell you
think he
my
was
favorite,
robbed. I
yeah,
think he
I
was
do.
robbed.
My favorite character in the whole film was Danny, though, played by Naheem Garcia, who was the one that was always cracking on to Mary. I thought that was just, he was just fucking brilliant. It's a beautiful film. And what happens at the end, and I kind of said to you, it's got it for me, it was like it's like Dead Poets Society meets Good Will Hunting. And I mean, you
Yeah,
don't
I
get
see that.
a much higher combination of movies than that for me. I thought it was truly, truly brilliant. And this is a film, by the way, I watched the trailer and I was like, nah,
I get it.
that's not a film film, right? Like,
I get it. I get it.
but again, but I've never seen Sideways, which is on my list of things to see.
Oh, you should definitely see it.
Yeah, no,
Although
it's literally on my list.
watching it now rather than at the time, you may kind of go, oh, this has all kind of been done. But it's
Well, I
because,
mean,
but it, no, what I mean is because at the time
yeah.
it was doing it, whereas now it's all it's kind of, but that
Well,
doesn't take away from it being a good movie. But you may just be a
no.
bit like, oh yeah, I kind of see where this is going.
But I watched two
But
films this month so far that I've not seen before, and both of them are iconic films that I should have seen. And I'll just talk about them really quickly. I watched The Last of the Mohicans for the first time.
it's fantastic.
I mean, how the fuck I haven't ever watched that before, is, you know, it is what it is. But I was like, oh my God, this film's good. I mean, it has, you know, if you want to put a modern lens on it has a touch of White Savior about it.
Of
And by a
course it does,
touch, I
yeah.
mean an
Well,
incredible amount of White
it's
Savior
about
about it.
a white savior. Like
It's
we it
literally about White
about a
Savior.
white savior, yeah, exactly.
And Daniel Day-Lewis is his hair deserved an Academy Award on its own. It was a if that film didn't win an Academy Award for Best Hair and Makeup, I don't know what would, because that hair was
Right.
just a work of art. So I
Glorious,
watched that for the first
glorious.
time, and again, I have to say, it like the power of it wasn't decreased. You have to watch it from a 90s lens. You know,
Yes.
it's a bit slower. It's a bit more kind of like 90s was very much about the scenery,
Right,
like
yes.
put a person in a shot and fill it with a beautiful scenery, and you have a shot. Right, that was kind of the philosophy of cinematography then, it seemed. So that was the first one I watched for the first time. And the second one, Ross, is going to really shock you, because I don't think I've ever admitted to not having ever watched this. And I actually
Okay.
maybe thought I had. But I watched The Hunt for Red October for the first time.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, it's not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things,
It's not a film
but
that for many people you'd
it's
consider,
not.
but my
Yeah,
God, what a
but I,
cast!
yeah, exactly. What a great and John McTiernan firing on all cylinders as a
And
director.
I for years, obviously, I've seen clips of Connery's Russian accent, but what they don't do, they
Yes,
don't
that very
contextualize
authentic,
it.
highly authentic Russian accent.
Yeah, but they don't offer, they don't contextualize it by saying at the beginning everyone's talking Russian, and they do that really
Exactly. And they do
clever thing where they go into the
the zoom in.
lips.
Yeah, the zoom
And
in.
then,
Yeah,
and
exactly.
it's not just, by the way, it's not just fucking Connery that's accent is
No,
messed
of course
up.
not.
All of the Russians' accents
Yeah.
are not Russian. So
No.
Connery gets a lot of shit for that, but you
No,
know,
everyone is just picking in their
like
beans.
Sam
I think if I
Neill is
remember, I think
clearly
everyone's
not
just,
Russian in
I
that
think everyone,
film.
I think, isn't everyone, I think all the Russians, inverted commas, are just speaking in their own accent, aren't they? I
Yeah, all of
think.
them, like Tim
Which is
Curry,
sensible,
Peter Fur.
but I think that's sensible, actually. I think you
Yeah.
should keep them in
No,
terms of the reality of the film, sort of thing, you know.
but it worked really, really well. But the weird
It
thing
does, yeah.
was, for me, the weird thing was Connery gets a lot of grief about his Russian accent.
Yes,
But
yes.
like Sam Neill is just using his usual accent, and Tim
Yeah.
Curry's using his usual accent, and Peter
Yeah.
Firth's using his usual accent.
Yeah.
But what a fucking cast. I mean, Courtney B. Vance, Jeffrey Jones, can't talk about him. Stellan Skarsgård, you've got, like, you know, obviously James Earl Jones, Scott Glenn.
Yep.
I mean, fuck me, that is
It's
a
funny that
cast
they
and a half, that film.
it's funny that they carried James Earl Jones over into the Harrison Ford films as well.
Yeah, it is.
Because it starts with Baldwin, obviously, and then becomes Harrison Ford, which is very strange. It's like a strange way
And
of
then
doing
becomes about 14 other actors, Ben Affleck and
it. Affleck, Chris Pine. Was it Chris
Chris
Pine doing it or
Pine,
something?
and truly, and I have to say, being really honest, I wasn't overly impressed by Alec Baldwin in it. I thought he was probably one of the weaker players in the
He is.
film, weirdly.
I don't think it's necessarily his. I agree.
It's
It's
the
weird.
writing.
He's it's for writing a little bit, because he's not really the main. I think it's the other thing is he's really not the main character. Jack Ryan isn't really the main.
No,
I know
he's not at all.
he's ostensibly the hero, ostensibly, but he really isn't as he first of all, he's not as interesting as Connery. So, I mean, I don't mean the acting, I mean the character.
The
And
character, no, not at all.
it's almost like he's kind of weaving his it's almost like Jack Ryan in it is weaving his way through what's happening
Well,
around him rather
Jack
than him
Ryan's
being
a
he's not really
passenger.
he, yeah he's yes he's not really the protagonist he's not really the
No, can
protagonist
I ask
he's
a
more
question?
he's just along for the
Because
ride. Yeah.
if this film was made now and it had never been made before, would you hold off the reveal about Connery being
A double,
looking
like
to,
he wanted to
yeah,
defect.
to defect? Would you hold that? Because they basically show that hand within 5 minutes of the film, 10 minutes
Yeah,
of the film.
I feel like you should see
And I
it
think it
from
robs
the
it a little bit of
American.
drama.
I agree. I think you need to see it almost from the, dare I say, the American perspective until you realize, like, so everything he's doing seems
Yeah.
on his level, like on the level for Russia,
And
so to
the
speak.
Russians telling
And
them
then the twist would be a twist. Yeah, I
yeah,
agree.
and then the
I agree.
Russians telling them that he's gone rogue, and like
Yeah.
Jack Ryan just going, hold on, something doesn't seem right about this, and Jack Ryan unpiecing the case. And
Yeah.
I wonder if it became more the
I mean,
way it is.
I never read the book, so I don't
No,
know if,
but I wonder if it
yeah.
became more the way it is because Connery is in that role, and therefore you
And
have to front
therefore,
and center Connery for the film, not
it's yeah,
Baldwin.
it's possible. I
Because
can't disagree with you.
it played really weird for me. 'Cause as good as the film was, and by the way, it's an 8 out of 10, solid 8
It's a
out of 10 for
very,
me.
very, very good. It's a very,
It's
very good
brilliantly
film. Yeah.
done. But I think
Yeah.
it robs the film of its tension. I mean,
Yeah.
hey, welcome to Ross and Phil Talk 40-year-old movies. It robs the film of its
Great movie.
tension.
People haven't watched it. People should watch
People should. It robs the film of its tension knowing what's going to
it.
happen.
Oh, I've just seen something about this. I didn't realize
Go on.
this. Alec Baldwin accepted the role of Jack Ryan because Harrison Ford did actually turn it down the first time. I didn't realize
Oh,
that. I didn't realize that.
they should have given it to Tom Selleck. There would have been a nice
Some vibes. Yeah,
synergy
but that's
there, wouldn't there? Can you
fascinating.
imagine?
That
Oh,
is
that's really cool.
fascinating.
And it had Joss
Yeah.
Ackland as well.
Yeah,
You
Joss
forget about
Ackland's
Joss
great.
Ackland. Joss
Yeah,
Ackland's
he's
so
great.
good.
Yeah.
I miss Joss Ackland. I mean, he only died last year, actually. I thought he died
Ah.
November 1920, he was 95 when he died. Fuck me.
God, good for him.
My favorite Joss Ackland role is still his wonderful South African accent in Lethal Weapon 2.
Diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic immunity.
Don't know what accent that
It's
is.
just been revoked. Anyway,
Great.
again, Ross and Phil talk 40-year-old movies. So Ross, okay, so look, I've just done The Hunt for Red October and Last of the Mohicans, two of my on my list of things to watch. What else have you been watching? Give me a newer film that you've watched that's worth spending a minute or two on.
So, American
Oh,
fiction.
let's talk Roadhouse. Let's do that. Let's get that out of the way.
Hey, what? I play American
Let's
fiction.
get
You've done what? What?
we need to get
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse out of the way. Let's get Roadhouse out of the way.
All right. Then you might
How
want to
was
ask me
it?
questions. I don't really want to talk about it.
Okay, so Ross, clearly you're
Just
a
ask me
fan
questions.
of.
Just ask me questions about it, because that's going to be easier
Okay,
until
so
you watch it.
Ross, you're clearly a fan of the original Roadhouse movie, right?
Correct.
You would rate it in one of your more favorite films of all time.
No, not necessarily, but it's up there in terms of fun, slickly made, reasonably well written for what it is. And somewhat iconic in terms of
Yeah.
it's absurd. Like, look, along the lines of Tango and Cash and
It's stupid
Commando
as
in terms,
fuck, but in
but
all
also
good
the, it's not
ways.
stupid. No, don't call it stupid. Stupid's the wrong word, but it is fun. And there is a huge amount of what's the word? Homosexuality in the relationships and in the
Hold on.
fighting, and it has the
In the
iconic line,
90s.
I used to fuck guys like you in prison, you know,
I
type
love
stuff.
that line. In
Amazing.
90s cinema. Is it like the scale now for me is Tango and Cash is kind of in the middle, which is a weird thing to say. Showdown in Little Tokyo is 100% at the top end of the gay for 90s action cinema. And probably the far end, you've probably got Lethal Weapon, right? Like, completely, like, not gay in any way whatsoever.
What about Commando? So, Commando is Commando.
No, this is the scale, right? So the scale, the middle point for me, is Tango and Cash. The gayest of gays is Showdown in Little Tokyo. And the straightest of straights is Lethal Weapon. So... If Tango and Cash is a 5 and Showdown in Little Tokyo is a 10 and Lethal Weapon is a 0, where was the original Roadhouse on that scale?
Sort of like an 8.5.
Okay, so I mean, it's in the gay. Showdown in Little Tokyo.
It's pretty good. It's pretty, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
There's a lot, I mean, the line weird, I used to fuck guys like you in prison is brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, that takes it. I mean, that is most of the 8, you know.
You've got the biggest dick I've ever seen on a man.
Yeah, no, trust me.
And sorry, just quickly, I found out originally that line is "you've got the biggest dick I've ever seen on a white man."
Right, yes.
And they cut the white bit out.
Sure.
Which is probably makes the line weirder.
I don't really know where to begin with that, because does that mean that Brandon Lee's character fancies white guys? Or all guys?
Or he's been going measuring
been dicks
showers?
On all races? Yeah. Different races of people. Has he got a graph?
No, he's got. You know, like parents have like height graphs for their children.
Yes, exactly.
He's got
a Chris Kenner cock size graph, like Chris Kenner being the South London.
Everything's now, but not so. So also digging deep on this, you've got the biggest dick I've ever seen on a man indicates that Dolph Lundgren's penis is the biggest ever. You've got the biggest dick I've ever seen on a white man.
Actually, let's clarify this. So it's the biggest dick on any man that Brandon Lee's character has seen the dick on.
Correct. No. But at this point, you've got to assume...
That he has seen the dick.
Yeah, but you've got to assume at this point, to say that line, if I said Dune 2 is the best film I've ever seen, right?
Yes.
There is a credibility to that statement because I have seen a lot of films. So I can
say... Just quickly, just contrary to that, 1 second, because this is a very important point. Yes, you can say that, right? You can say that Dune 2, if you were to say it, is the best film I've ever seen because you have seen many, many films. Now, just on that point, in Bournemouth, when I left the cinema, having watched American Pie 2, a person behind me literally said out loud, "That's the best film I've ever fucking seen." And I was like, American Pie 2 is the best film you've ever seen. The film that has that weird fake, you know, remember the fake lesbian bit where the two girls...
That's weird. Like,
He, by the way, he was making a joke. This guy was completely sincere.
I don't doubt for a second
when he said that American Pie 2... No, he wasn't making it. There's no way he was making a joke. He was like, "I can't believe what I've just seen in that film." This guy was conservatively in his early 20s. So the measure of this person's film quality level is in his early, let's just say his early 20s, American Pie 2.
There's not much I would suggest.
Imagine if he saw Goodfellas.
Imagine if he saw like Animal House or like an actual funny
Porky's,
comedy.
Porky's.
Yeah.
Or the first American Pie compared to
which is a genuinely problematic but good film.
But I'm just saying in terms of that it
infinitely funnier than Part 2.
He said it with no irony. That has stayed with me since the late 90s.
Going back to my point, though. So if I said that Dune 2 was the best science fiction film I've ever seen, best film I've ever seen, you might not agree, but you go, he's seen a lot of films, so there's a degree of credibility in that. So for Brandon Lee to say that's the biggest dick I've ever seen on a man, I would then assume, to make that statement, he's not an American Pie 2 guy.
No.
This is filled with Dune 2. He's seen a lot of dick.
Many dicks.
When you change that sentence to "the biggest dick I've ever seen on a white guy," That opens up a whole load of questions about...
Because does he go from shower room to shower room?
And you've got to assume, to make that statement, you do.
Has he been to Uganda? Like, has he been...
Maybe different... his holidays... You imagine what? Like, a cop in America, let's say you get 30 days holiday a year.
Are you sure? Yeah.
We're assuming that... We've now got to assume that every one of those days of holiday, he's in a shower somewhere looking at a penis.
A minimum of one.
And you've got to assume, you've got to assume that on any given day you could go into what, 20, 30 shower rooms. And at any point, if it's a public shower room, there could be 10 people in there. So he could be looking at 300 cocks a day.
He could be.
Right? And if he's doing that for 5 days a week,
he has to also perfectly
2,500 cocks in a week.
Give or take. Well, that's a lot.
Plus, then times that by five. And you've got 12,000 cocks a year.
Thousands of
thousands. And then any cocks is randomly seen in a urinal. So you could be in a urinal. So let's add another.
I don't think there's anything random about this. I think you would be
So let's assume he visits a urinal three times a day. Let's add another 1,000 cocks onto that. So we could be looking at about...
Here's the thing.
14,000 cocks a year.
And this, all these cocks, these many, many cocks, Brandon Lee's character has to, in his mind, preserve the memory of the biggest one of every race. I'm assuming. Because he...
You're assuming he's not taking Polaroids.
Well, no, but I don't think he has time. I don't think people will accept it. He's a police officer, so maybe he...
Hold on. Yeah, but here's my badge. Sorry, sir.
Yeah, you have to show me your dick.
I've got to take a picture of that show for evidence, because there's been a flasher around here. I think the scale he's got on his wall, I think there's Polaroids on that scale.
Yeah, but he didn't take... Well, actually, we don't know. But imagine you cut to an insert of Brandon Lee. You know when you used to wave those Polaroids to get them to develop?
Yeah.
Like, just doing that. Like, after the hot tub scene with Brad and Dolph Lundgren and also, body double. Like,
also, you've got to factor in, you know, was Dolph hard at this point? There's a grower shower argument here as well.
There's a lot going on in this conversation.
I mean, there is a lot to... that change of a word.
Also, if Bradley's character feels comfortable saying to Dolph Lundgren's character's face that he has the biggest dick he's ever seen on a man, I gotta wonder if he felt equally comfortable. Like, every time he saw the biggest on a particular episode of that, did he feel the need to sort of go up to the guy?
You've
and
got
go,
the
I have to
biggest dick I've ever seen on a black man.
Seen, well, I was going to say on a Malaysian or on a on a Mongolese. like, I don't know. Like, how does it work?
Brandon Lee's
like,
character's mind would have been blown when the internet came along. I want to know. He had access to all these cocks.
I want to know. I want to know the character background work that was done by the writers.
I think. By the way, I think we've just invented a lot. But there's another flip side to this. If you just keep the sentence as it is, you've got the biggest dick I've ever seen on a man.
Yes. What does that infer?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a whole different kettle of fish.
Well, are we talking? Are we talking trans, or are we talking? Or are we talking animals? Because we're trying.
I think you've got to be talking
statues,
animals here.
Or statues.
I mean, you've got the biggest dick I've ever seen on a white man takes the conversation in one way, right?
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that way. You've got the biggest dick I've ever seen on a man.
That's what I mean.
Let's assume that Brandon Lee's character at some point in real life, in the film world, died, right? Like, yeah. Because he was quite reckless, he's a bit gobby. At some point, someone's going to shoot him, right? We've got to assume that character's not going to last, right? So at some point, his mum is going to have to go in there and clear out his room. And there's a scale of cocks on the wall in one version of this.
Are we saying that a police detective in his late 20s is still living at home with his mum?
No, no, I'm saying that after he dies, his mum's going to have to go and clear out his room. Right. So in one situation, you've got a scale on the wall with different races' penises, Right, and on the other version of this,
at least one graph,
and on the other side of this, you've got a graph with different animals' penises.
I don't even know where you start. I don't know.
Anyway, and so also, how gay is romance?
And also presumably the dick sizes have to be comparable.
Yeah,
there's a lot of work going on here.
Anyway, so how gay? So we were putting Roadhouse at an 8.5. We really did go off piece there.
It's definitely not as gay as Showdown. Now what I think.
I think you might now have to decrease.
I might take it.
Yeah,
down.
I think it's good. I think that gap. I think we now might have to put. I think we now might have to put Roadhouse at a 10. Commando is our 5. Sorry, Tango and Cash is still our 5. Roadhouse is our 10, and Tango and Cash is our 8. Is our like off the scale 20. Anyway, how gay is the new Roadhouse?
It doesn't exude any sexuality whatsoever.
How much personality does it exclude? Exude, sorry.
Well, the only personality that it exudes at all is Conor McGregor's, and that is a mistake.
It's a choice, is it?
He's the only one who displays any kind of emotion whatsoever, and it's because he can't act.
So let's say here, right?
Strange movie.
For the record, let's say that, and let's agree on something, right? We're not against remakes. Remakes can be good.
Nothing against some of the best films ever made are remakes. Scarface, The Thing, and plenty more. But some of the best movies ever made are remakes.
Dune
is
technically a remake.
Well, it is a remake.
It is.
One by another.
So we're not against remakes. Invariably, though, 9 out of 10 times, remakes are piss poor. I mean, look at the Point Break remake. No one is arguing that's a good film.
I'm not sure I can say 9 out of 10, but let's look at the bad ones, the recent bad ones. Point Break, basically unwatchable. RoboCop, just meh. It's not even a terrible, but RoboCop remake is not a terrible film, but it's just meh. Whatever.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, another remake that's amazing, The Fly.
The Fly is amazing.
An amazing film.
I'll give you that one.
Evil Dead 2 is amazing because that's a remake and a sequel. And Desperado is a very good remake and sequel.
It falls off a cliff at that point, though.
It does, but Desperado is a superior version of El Mariachi, and it's also a sequel to El Mariachi.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's not the best film ever made, but it's definitely a superior.
But, you know, Total Recall, again, not a terrific film.
I didn't like that film at all, to be blunt. But, yeah, it's not the worst made ever film, but that is not a good remake.
No, it's absolutely not. I mean, Point Break especially is bad. I'm going to throw in Ghostbusters 2016. It's not a terrible film, but it's not a great remake. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw in... I've not seen the remake of White Men Can't Jump.
I have no interest. I wouldn't mind seeing it, but I don't have any interest in seeing it.
Flatliners?
I can't remember. That was a bad remake. Firestarter.
Planet of the Apes? Bad.
Firestarter. Well, the Mark 2001 was bad. Yeah, that was a bad film.
Tim Burton.
It was good stuff, but it was a bad film.
A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Nah. Although I do like the Friday. In fact, I think Friday the
13th. Friday the 13th is very good. Now, an exception to the rule, Old Boy. I thought the remake was pretty good.
The Old Boy remake?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's a no for me.
I thought it was very good.
It wasn't a bad film necessarily, but, you know. Really.
So The Fog is another bad one.
Oh, dear God.
Cabin Fever, remaking a bad film with a bad film. Brilliant. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember if I've seen the remake of that.
Oh, it's just... Bleh.
The Japanese remake of Cube is very good, and the Japanese remake of Unforgiven is excellent as well.
The remake of Evil Dead is exceptional. In my opinion, very good.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. The 2013 one.
So there can be good remakes.
Absolutely. This is not about.
It's a good remake.
No, this was not a good remake.
Dawn of the Dead! Dawn of the Dead, mate!
Dawn of the Dead is an incredible remake. Incredible remake.
By the way, 30 years. No, 20 years. 20 years.
20
just
years
passed,
this year. I think I'll be watching for Halloween, you know.
20 years this year. So. You can get good remakes, right? So we're not against remakes. But But we had a bit of discussion on this. I have seen some very, very good reviews of Roadhouse 2023 from credible sources. So some people are enjoying it, right? I've seen some comments in forums and groups where people have said, I've really enjoyed this.
Yes. And there are definitely people saying they've really enjoyed it.
And they have, Ross. They're not going to say it if they don't.
Loads
but
of people
equally,
say they don't meet.
Equally, you're not a fan.
So Nicky and I watched it, and I'm not exaggerating when I say I went into it just going, let's just see it. Doug Liman is a solid director. Patchy sometimes, but basically
he's done some good films. He's done some bad films.
He's done most on the whole good though. On the whole good. Gyllenhaal, I mostly like. I don't have anything against Gyllenhaal. Couldn't give a shit about Conor McGregor. And here's the other thing. Oh, and I like Billy Magnussen, typically, who essentially is the lead villain. I typically like Billy Magnussen. And yeah. I have nothing else I can say about any of the other cast before I see the film. Most of the cast, given the budget of this film, I don't know who they are. But that doesn't matter. That's not actually a big deal.
Daniel Melchior has done a load of stuff. So she's relatively
but
credible.
Credible, but I can't say that I'm going to go and see a film
in any way, shape, or form.
In fact, I typically won't go and see a film just because Jake Gyllenhaal's in it, but he is a good actor, right? Now, and we could also say the work that he did, and let's just be clear, the work that he did, including loads of fucking steroids, because there's no way he wasn't juicing for this film. And by the way, I'm not judging that, I'm just saying the idea that people say he did loads of work is half true. Like Charlie Sheen for Hot Shots Part Deux. I admire the work they do, except for it's not just work, because people are out of their minds if they think it's all natural. I'm just being, by the way, as nasty as I'm saying, I'm not being nasty. Just grow up, everyone. It's not him. He hasn't spent 9 years doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would have been good, though, if some of that training had extended to looking like he can fight. Because there's a few bits of the film where it looks like he can fight a little bit.
I would rather cast, like, there are lots of actors out there who can fight or handle themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's some actors, by the way, like a Keanu Reeves, who's not what I would describe as a martial artist, but someone that's taken to martial arts and fighting.
Yes.
Pretty efficient. Yes.
And he's been doing it now on and off. He's been doing it now for a number. He's been doing it for like 25 years now, one way or another, on and off. You can do it for 25 years.
But it just seems like a really weird role for Jake Gyllenhaal to take.
I agree.
Who's
a really credible actor,
well, by the way.
There is a bit... I don't want to spoil anything because you should watch the film before we get into
it. I'm watching it tonight.
Right, there is a bit of the film somewhere in the middle of the film or sort of the back half of the film. By the way, the film is way too long. It is over 2 hours.
So is
the original Roadhouse, but the original Roadhouse, you do not feel it. In this, you feel it because there is... I'm going to just say it. Basically, inverted commas, no story and no character development. But we'll get to that when you've watched it, because we can argue about it if you disagree. There's a bit of the film. There's two or three bits of the film that I really liked. I really did. I'm not trying to sound condescending. There was a few bits of the film that I really, really enjoyed. There's a bit where a guy threatens him with a gun. I think you'll like that bit. I'm just saying, I really, really like it.
Okay.
I'm not going to spoil it. There's a bit where a guy threatens him with a gun, and what he does, I think, is really great, really enjoyable. There's a slap fight, which has been in the trailers. That bit is very good, too. Really is. There's a bit of the film where Jake's character...
But some of them wasn't going to talk about it very much.
No, but I'm just trying to be... Because what I don't want to just go, no, shit. It is mostly shit. But
that's okay, by the way. But we'll talk about it in more detail. Let's talk about it in more detail.
Yeah, we will. But I'm just going to get to a point quickly, because when you watch the film, I want to see if you identify what I'm about to say. There's a bit of the film where we finally get a modicum of insight into who Jake's character is. And what I mean by that is Dalton in the original movie is a complete mystery. We never find out his first name even, which you do in this film, and that's rubbish, but forget that. This isn't about... You need to know everything about a character, because enigma and mystery adds the mystique of a film and a character, right? That's kind of why Roadhouse, there's some of that that works. He's this Zen martial artist bouncer, which doesn't make any sense.
Ross, this is meant to be a quick
point. Sorry. So the point I'm getting to, what I'm getting to is there's a point in the film where there is a certain aspect of Gyllenhaal's character's personality reveals in a really interesting way, and he becomes a lot more what's the word? Let's just say scary, right? For a
Okay.
bit, for a bit. And then it completely disappears and never comes back. And you would just go, if you're like me, you'll go, well, that was interesting. That was
Yeah,
really interesting. What?
I will watch it this week. Just to put to bed one thing, right?
Yeah.
We had a debate about reviewers liking this film and you questioning motivation.
I
Some
don't
of the
question it, I
positive,
know.
well, no, hold on. There is the New York Times liked this film. Film Week, which from a credible reviewer, liked this film. The Daily Telegraph in the UK liked this film. The New York Post liked this film. New York Magazine, Vulture, liked this film. The Globe and the Mail, again, liked this film. I'm giving you all the credible ones here. Vanity Fair, Irish Times, CNN, Associated Press. There's a lot of Wall Street Journal. There's a lot of very credible sources. Rolling Stone magazine. The Wrap, again, another
You mean
credible.
magazine? You mean magazines that put Jake Gyllenhaal on the cover?
Empire, oh, no, Ross, go away. The Guardian.
No,
Again,
I'm just
not
completely right. I'm not wrong.
the no Ross, The
I'm not
Guardian,
wrong.
again, is not a, they don't give a fuck about Jake
No, I
Gyllenhaal
don't.
being on
God,
the front of the magazine. But what I'm
I know the
saying
Guardian
is,
doesn't,
what
but a
I'm
number of
saying
them
is
do.
this film has a 65% Rotten Tomato rating, or 63%, right? And a lot of those positive reviews are from sources that I would state are highly credible. Not just credible, highly credible.
Sure.
Variety, like, gives it a good review. IndieWire, Hollywood Reporter. These are all very credible, non-agenda driven sources, right? That will get fucking Jake Gyllenhaal on their thing, whatever. So it's weird. What's weird for me is I can't remember a film, and again, I can't say this because I haven't seen it. I can't remember a film that's had such a weird split in, yeah, I quite enjoyed it too. Oh my God, I fucking hated it, and not much in between. So we'll do an episode on it next time we speak because I'm going to watch that tonight, and
Sure.
maybe we'll even just do a special. So that's that. Oh, a couple of films just to talk about really quickly because we are running out of time. I watched Drive Away Dolls. It was not the film I wanted it to be. I don't know
No.
what the fuck. When you watch it, you
Trailer
tell
looked
me.
right.
I
I did
like the
see it.
trailer. It looked a
Yeah.
bit like
No,
quirky,
no,
stupid.
no. I was gonna say the trailer tells you it's gonna be a very specific type of film. But very heavily leans on Matt Damon, who I assume is in one or two scenes, really, rather than the whole movie. Or am I
Oh
wrong?
my God, literally two scenes in the whole
There you
film.
go. There you go.
Also watched the new Millie Bobby Brown movie
Oh,
on
Damsel.
Netflix.
That looks
What
terrible.
a fucking awful film that is. I
It looks
actually fell asleep
terrible.
for about
I
20
know. So
minutes of
we know
it.
so many people who worked on it as well, and they're going, "Oh, it's amazing to work." And I'm like, "It looks terrible.
Yeah, it
Looks
might be amazing
terrible."
to work on, but my God, it's not good. I watched Scrapper, which was
Oh yeah, I
very
love
good.
Scrapper. Yes,
You
great
love
movie.
Scrapper as well. I looked at your
One of the
review.
best films of last
Scrapper.
year. Yeah.
Yeah, Scrapper was really, really good. And then the last film I want to make a note of is something I watched day before yesterday. I watched Immaculate, which I saw
Oh
one
yes, I want to see
trailer.
it.
I literally saw one trailer on it, and I was like, And then Kermode did his review, and Kermode's like, yeah, this film is an 18 and it earns its rating. And I'm like, okay, now I'm interested. And it's
Yeah.
not like a quiet bang movie.
Oh, I
This is
hate those. Yeah.
by the end of the movie. The last, and I'm going to give nothing away. The last 5 minutes of this movie, it if you like the kind of, oh my God, it's gone so far off the rails of something like St. Maud's.
Well, I was going to say it's the same director, right? It's the same director.
This. Whoa, the ending of this
Well,
film.
I love St. Maud, so I really want to see it.
The ending of this film is something fucking else, mate. I can honestly say I watched the ending of this film, and I am a veteran of horror. I've watched a lot of horror films over over the years I've been on this planet, and I can't remember very often having to look away from a movie or go,
Oh, interesting.
oh my God, what the actual living fuck is that? No, he didn't direct St. Maud, I don't think. He's directed
I thought it was the same director. Is it the same
No,
director as something?
that's something else, someone else.
Is that another film? Is that another film that's coming out?
No,
Oh, okay, my bad.
yeah, she directed Love Lies Bleeding, I think that's the film that
Love
she
Lies
directed.
Bleeding. It is. You're right.
Yeah,
That's right.
yeah.
Sorry. You're right. Yes. Yes.
Immaculate is something fucking else, mate. And hey, look,
Oh, good.
not every note hits. But sure. The one thing I'm super impressed about is, like, Sydney Sweeney is very well known for being attractive and having, being a good-looking actress.
Yes.
I think people are sleeping on how fucking talented she is as an actual actress. And, you know, if anyone saw Anyone But You, she's got real good comic chops.
She was great in it. She was really
Reality,
good,
she was great in. Really good in that film, Reality. And she also produces this.
Interesting.
So this kind of thing is like the Margot Robbie, actress turned producer making their own movies. It's working because, yeah, Immaculate is something else. It's not perfect, but fuck me, the ending is something else. Do you want to just blast through a couple of films quickly that you've seen and then we'll call it a day?
There is literally just two in terms of new films because there's plenty of old films. The first one is Wicked Little Letters, which Liffy and I went to see.
I really want to see that.
Very much enjoyed. I'd see it as soon as you can. It only in as much as, like, it's probably going to go soon. And it is, don't get me wrong, it's a bit of a TV movie. And I don't mean that to sound, it looks a bit like a TV movie. But the cast are top notch. It's very funny. And yeah, we had a really good time with it. And it's only 100 minutes, which again, nice. Miracle these days. And the other film I want to touch on briefly, we talk about it as much as you want, but because you recommended it, was ISS. And I really liked ISS.
Oh, yeah. ISS is not what you expect at all,
ISS
is it?
ISS is a good movie. Like, good, interesting, good chamber thriller, you know, like, cause it's kind of like a one location, although the location is very impressive indeed. It looks very real, I have to say. Given that it's a relatively low-budget movie, and it's not really a name.
How
car,
the fuck did they do
movies.
the weightlessness
the gravity
in that movie?
Stuff. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. You totally buy that they're there. You know, you never, in my head, I was like, they filmed this in space.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. If you told me this film had been filmed in space, I would have gone, fuck yes.
Yeah. Considering Tom Cruise keeps talking about doing it, I really, it looks real.
Yeah. I was genuinely blown away by how unique that film was. I kind of guessed where it was going. At the start, I was guessing, something's going to happen on Earth. They're going to get trapped there for whatever reason.
I did wonder if there was going to be some other twist at the end, like, did it really happen or some
is
shit?
Is it going to be a Cloverfield movie?
Or was it a test or something? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like some weird test or something. But someone just fucking with them. But it was,
when they did that spate of Cloverfield movies that weren't Cloverfield movies,
yes,
but they made it Cloverfield movies?
Well, culminating with The Paradox, which was just awful.
Awful. This to me, I had that in the back of my head. I'm like, oh, please don't be revealed to be a fucking Cloverfield movie at the end.
Right. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
Thank God that died a death.
That was sad. The third one was absolutely terrible.
But it's not the third one, is it? It's got nothing to do with the other ones.
No, it had nothing. It was like the Hellraiser movies where they just took these other scripts and made them. You know.
Hellraiser movies, and we all know how well that worked. Last one, then Ross. I don't know if you've watched it yet, but I caught up with a more recent Doug Campbell joint in Vanished in Yosemite.
Oh, I do want to watch that. I've got that.
It's all right. It's not my favourite, but it's the rare Doug Campbell movie where the female is not the villain.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Like the villain is a man. And he's like, and it's like, yeah, it plays out. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. There's a twist in it. And if you don't see that twist coming from the moment you see the character walk on screen, I'll be gobsmacked. But it's fun and it's got some interesting ideas and it's got like there's a degree of Hard to Kill about it as well. And
oh, really?
What was that one with The Hunt? It's got a degree of The Hunt in it as well. So it's actually, it's like a typical Doug Campbell movie. You could play it like it's a kidnapped person escaping movie, but he always manages to put a little bit more of a twist on things.
I'll check it out soon. Yeah,
it's definitely worth a try. Anything else you want to mention? I've seen Lisa Frankenstein. That was all right.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see that. I'd like to see it. Well, I suppose very briefly, a cinema trip that Nikki and I took to see at the Prince Charles Cinema. Again, they're showing the Bond films that we saw You Only Live Twice for the first time on the big screen. And what a joy that was, truly. Truly. I mean, first of all, Vic Armstrong's first Bond film, or first film job,
good old Vic.
which is great. You don't really see him, but he's one of the ninjas dropping from the roof and all of that stuff from the volcano there. But all of the wonderfully silly tropes of what would become the Roger Moore Bond films, but with Sean Connery as Bond, it's a delight to behold on the big screen. Really,
All present and correct. And I just want to touch on Cineworld are doing a action
Oh,
film series. What a fuck it. I'm loving Cineworld at the moment. They're showing classic movies like they did. They're doing for April Fools. They're doing Dumb and Dumber and Naked Gun, which is
I didn't
brilliant.
Know that. That's amazing.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah. They're doing Dumb and Dumber and Naked Gun. So they're doing these really kind of cool.
Naked Gun.
Yeah, they're doing these really cool, and like you only pay a fiver for them. And for the action sequence series, they're doing like, and it's a great curated. If you ask me to put together an action series, I'd pretty much do this.
It's genius.
Like Predator, Commando. I mean, already I'm in, right? Like Demolition Man. Speed. Fucking hell, yes. Fury Road. And what else? There's something else as well. I'm just talking about, unfortunately, I can't see. Oh, and The Rock. And unfortunately, the two I really want to see is I can't see Demolition Man and I can't see The Rock because I'm busy on both of those nights.
Wow.
And I was genuinely devastated because I would do anything to see Demolition Man in the cinema. It's
very
brilliant.
Exciting.
But yeah, look, hey, like continuing, like for years we've moaned about Cineworld's, I had a shit Cineworld. The fucking, hey, have you seen Phil adverts and all that? Bullshit.
Right.
It's nice to see that they're actually living up to their title as kind of a cineast's chain of cinemas. So I'm quite chuffed with the cinema series that they're putting together for action films.
Absolutely. That is fantastic.
And I'll finally get to see Commando on the big fucking screen after we didn't due to COVID.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. Very excited.
Because
I'm really
Ross,
excited about the Naked
you're
Gun.
going to watch.
So cool.
You're going to watch every night of Commando, weren't you? Wanda?
I booked every single day, but it was going to be on for a week. fucking COVID.
I wonder if you would have got halfway through and gone, I'll just skip tomorrow.
Right here, no, fucking no way. You could have chopped my leg off, and I would have been like, no.
So, Ross, where can people find out more about you?
I've got this dick conversation. Do they want it? But it's
after this.
At Ross Boyesque, all of the social things, at Evo Films UK to check out Adventure Films, and at Vengeance Film UK for all the other stuff.
Excellent. And you can check out more about the podcast on rossandphiltalkmovies.co.uk, and I'm on all the socials as well. And we'll be back. We're back for our next episode, where we'll probably be catching up on Mark Chalart and hopefully talking slightly less about Dolph Lundgren's penis and Brandon Lee's penis obsession. Maybe.
Shouldn't we just keep it going?
Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye.
Ciao. Bella tu.
Funk. That was Dolph Lundgren's penis.